Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Kane and I are absolutely fascinated by this story. And this is in North Fort Myers. So there's an Eagle Cam, right? That is, it's on, I don't want to tell you, but everybody knows where it is. So Florida Fish and Wildlife are having to get involved because there's this eagle camera. So the mama eagle, like, apparently disappeared, and the daddy eagle has been left. It's at the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam. The daddy eagle has been left to raise the eaglets. So you got more than 190 people watching the nesting drama unfolding online at the Southwest Florida Eagle Cam. They got multiple cameras. They got chat rooms. It's crazy. And so they said that people are very worried because that daddy eagle's out there. He's like raising them eaglets. He's also got to get the food. He's got to protect his nest, you know, and he's already had to like fend off, you know, a couple of other eagles. And then this shifty female eagle named R233 has managed to land in the nest and then take food from him because she's a grifter. Well, anyway, Florida Fish and Wildlife is saying, please stop door dashing food to daddy eagle. I'm not even making this up. They're now having, DoorDash is having to look because people are door dashing this eagle food. They got people that want to be the eagle's bouncer. I love the heart that these people have for this eagle. Florida Fish and Wildlife is like, we understand that your heart's in the right place, but y'all cannot be door dashing food to the eagle, okay? You can't. And there's, on the camera, you literally can see door dashers showing up. Who does, like, who would actually, they're showing up to leave food for it. So Florida Fish and Wildlife are involved, and they're like, no, no, no. As long as the nesting is proceeding in a positive manner, we are not going to intervene. They said that there's been a handful of deliveries in the recent days, and they're like, you've got to stop. You can't, they've been putting it at the, they were trying to put the food at the base of the tree where the eagle was nesting. And to Kane, to your point, they've been delivering fish. Yeah, so I don't know if it was like a fish fillet or something. I don't know. But they said they've been delivering food to poor daddy eagle who's just trying to get them eaglets raised. You know, he just wants to see them fledge and fly. You know, he just... So we're all praying for daddy eagle, but please do not DoorDash food to daddy eagle. Do not be a bouncer for daddy eagle. Florida Fish and Wildlife is watching it. I got a villager story from the villages.
What? Mm-hmm.
A man in a wheelchair and his female companion were arrested in an alleged shoplifting scheme at a Best Buy in Lady Lake. Matthew Merhoff. Dude, his mugshot is something to behold. I mean, it could use it as an avatar for the Florida Man on the show of all time. Matthew Merhoff was in a wheelchair in the store. He was being pushed by 21-year-old Miranda Sue Chapman. And other store personnel noticed that they were behaving quite suspiciously. And they were on surveillance. They were making contact with merchandise packaging. And then Merhoff, who Juan's going to show you on the simulcast, would then put an item in his jacket and zip it up. Store personnel contacted police and asked that Merhoff and Chapman be escorted from the store. And then they got loud and argumentative and refused to go. I don't know how you could refuse to go if I could just wheel you out, but okay. So they were told if they didn't leave of their own volition, they were going to be arrested. So they he was in possession of a bunch of stolen merchandise. He was booked at Lake County Jail on $2,000 bond. Yeah. And then if you think that your day is bad, well, you could be this Naples man who tried to steal a Caterpillar, like the truck. Like a literal front loader that's worth $60,000. According to Collier County Sheriff's Office, the Caterpillar front loader was stolen from a property in Everglades Boulevard, 7 a.m. Lazaro Perez was driving the front loader on a flatbed. He tried to literally steal it on a flatbed. He also had a ton of meth on him, and he was totally arrested. He's in jail now. So Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This striker fire pistol is is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15 plus 1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. We were having this discussion. We're a weird show because our staff, like Kane is, you're sort of like in the middle of Gen X.
Yeah, Gen X.
I'm like barely Gen X. I'm baby, little infant baby, newborn Gen X, which I will be in Gen X. I literally will lie about my age and make myself older if I have to. I swear hands to sky I will. And then we had this conversation because we were talking about certain attributes of millennials that even, like, Steve's a millennial and he even hates millennials. And we're like, Steve, you're the only millennial we like. And he's a baby millennial and Juan is Gen Z. Juan is, where does he fall in Gen Z? So he's
right in the beginning
right
of Gen Z.
Yeah. Right, so he's like an older Gen Z dude. He's older Gen Z. I think it's so arbitrary, by the way, how they cut these things off. It's really weird. I just think it's very arbitrary. And then wasn't there supposed to be, I was reading someone, or reading this piece from some sociologist who was saying that there actually is a micro gen between Z, or between millennials and X, because of the internet, the creation of the internet. And it was determined, which I think is stupid, but I mean, I guess I can understand the argument. And it was determined by whether or not you had the internet when you were in school, which doesn't really make that much of a difference. Dude, I remember I had like high school AOL chat. Remember that? I was a troll, man. I was such a troll. Everything was black. My font was black. Everything was black. And I would come in with like Slayer or something. I could like code it in and drop it. It was all like so stupid.
The best we had in my school was do you remember the K-Pros? Those K-Pro machines? They look like when the keyboard was attached to the top of it, it had a handle on it and you carried it around like a freaking suitcase. And you took the keyboard off the top of it and it had its little screen and you put your floppy disks in there.
I totally don't remember that.
Oh my gosh. That's what I was introduced to when I was young.
I remember. Do people have typing class anymore?
I had that when I was in,
because they were phasing that out when I was in high school. Like, but I was a senior in high school before they started to not have such much of an emphasis on it.
Right.
And now I don't even think they offer it, along with home ec, or I don't think they offer shop. Do high schools have shop classes anymore?
They did when I was in high school. I don't know about now. I don't think so.
Did you really have a high school experience if you didn't walk past a shop class full of burnouts? Like at least once an afternoon. I mean, was it really a high school experience? I don't know. Or the nerds in the typing lab. Was it really a high school?
We did serious stuff in shop. We rebuilt starter motors. We rebuilt lawnmower engines.
You guys
engines.
Did cool stuff in there.
Yeah. We did.
I sewed a pig pillow in home ec. But I will say, I also learned how to balance a checkbook and do other adulting things in home ec.
Yeah.
Where kids don't do that now. My oldest son was complaining about it. He was like, they didn't teach us this stuff in school. I'm like, really? I was like, they didn't teach. He's like, no. I mean, we had to take home ec. I think it was actually mandatory. I was in seventh grade and I had to take home ec. But when you were in junior high, you had to take 1 year of home ec, 2 semesters. And then one of my projects was I had to, along with a team of other similarly addled people, domestically addled people, because we're kids, we had to make like a whole, like, what was it, 3-course meal. And had the budgeting and everything. And then I had to create a pillow and you could pick from a pattern. And I think it's funny now that one of my hobbies is now one of my final projects for, it's funny. But yeah, they don't teach us stuff anymore. They don't teach. And then I just wonder if that's, cause have you heard kids complain about this now? It's Gen Z that I hear this the most from. They're like, oh my gosh, we didn't learn about any of this stuff. Balance a checkbook. What? I don't even use checks. I'm like, well, you still need to go and like look at your bank account and make sure that nobody's stealing from you. I mean, be obsessive about that stuff.
I think high school should have those type of classes in addition to how to fill out your taxes.
Yeah, they don't teach any of that.
How to start an LLC.
How to address an envelope.
Yeah, just those simple things. We totally abandoned all that stuff.
I had one of my friends, because we're sending out graduation. You send out graduation invites and all that stuff. And one of my friends she texted me. And she was like, oh, my gosh. She said, did you deal with this with your child? She's like, because I sat down with my son and we were filling out graduation announcements and invites. And she said, he literally did not know how to fill out the envelope. And I go, what? She's like, he literally did not know where to put what on the envelope. Wow. Well, okay, think about it, though, in his defense, really quick, how often do Gen Z people,
right.
Do they get mail, right? How often, I mean, who sends you mail? It's either spam, military.
Right.
What else?
Circulars.
Yeah.
Credit card applications.
And that's kind of really it. Everything else is like Evite. It's all like something else, right?
Right.
So, yeah, I'm just a little fascinated by all of that. Yeah, they don't teach any of that stuff. I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know, or college stuff. You get college stuff. And that's kind of it. They don't get me. Everything is Evite. Even like your bank stuff is, well, I mean, you might get like your summary, you know, your monthly statement, but that's it. They don't really get. So I was thinking about it. And then I check with my kid and I'm like, hey, do you know how to fill out an envelope? Now, remember, I homeschooled for a number of years. And thankfully, he reminded me that that's one of the things that we covered. Because we did a Flat Stanley thing. I don't know if you guys remember Flat Stanley. It was a little boy who was flat, and his parents sent him around to travel the world in an envelope, which was incredibly irresponsible. But, I mean, we wouldn't have had the book without it. So, anyway, would you say it's like quizzing Gen Z on rotary phones?
Yeah, on the rotary phone.
That is one of my favorite things to watch. Young Gen Z figuring out how to use a rotary phone is one of my favorite. Those videos are so, like, wholesome and genuine. These kids are like, how do you use this? And they pick it up and they're like, it's already on. How do you use this? It is so funny. Oh, cracks me up. They think that they're fancy.
Right.
What is it? Sets in like this? It is, oh, and I cry
between
laughing.
Themselves trying to figure out, so if I put my finger in the three hole.
And then if they mess up, they're like, gosh, dang it, I got to start all over. How do you text with this? So funny. I think my grandma had a rotary phone up until I was in, legit, like, in college, I think. I think that woman had a rotary phone. It was this old, like, burgundy rotary phone. It did look fancy now that I think about it. I used to always want one of those fancy Victorian rotary phones when I was a kid. Goth aesthetic. Now I'm like, golly, you know.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This story got me. I saw this last night and I could not believe it. So get this. You guys remember it's the meme where it's the farmer in a field and it says, it ain't much, but it's honest work. I've used that. I don't know how many times. I can't tell you how many times I use that. I think a week. So the farmer, it's a real guy, 76-year-old Dave Brandt. And he was a known proponent of no-till farming. He traveled around the country talking about sustainable agriculture techniques and soil health. But it was at that Natural Resources Conservation Service event that he held on his farm. That's when he went viral. Well, he was hurt in a crash in Urbana, Illinois on Thursday, and he passed away from his injuries on Sunday. 76 years old. I know. I can't believe this. That's like, I mean, that's so, it's sad. And I mean, everybody knows this guy. So prayers for his family. A wild brawl broke out at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport. And there's video. Not a bit of the audio can be played. Not a bit. It started between two passengers who were deplaning. And it turned, everyone chose violence when they got to the lower level of Terminal 3. And it was a little after 11 p.m. So I'm sure people were tired. It was a late night. You know, Chicago police said that every single person involved was charged with one misdemeanor count of battery. Everybody was throwing hands in small groups. It was like a Renaissance painting of chaos. It was wild. Everybody was doing something. There was some place to look, no matter where you were. That was wild. I was telling you this headline. Disney's Little Mermaid reboot is set to be a record flop for Hollywood. So they actually got it to open in China. And it only made like $120,000 so far for their opening. I know. So what does that mean? We got a lot more in store. Stay with us. So this story, police in Connecticut. Have you guys heard about this? This has happened before. And it happened again this is on Monday. So this stems from a case. The latest took place because it's been in court. This stems from a case that started in 2019. Have you ever heard the phrase free range parenting? So free range parenting is basically parents not being helicopter parents and allowing their kids to do things. And these Connecticut parents, they allowed their kids ages 7 and 9 to walk to Dunkin' Donuts. And some person who wasn't minding their business decided to freak out and call the police on these parents for this. And the Dunkin' Donuts, literally, it was like 3 blocks away from where they live. And it was the small, it's Killingly, Connecticut. It's this little, you know, town in northeast part of the state. They lived right by their elementary school, the library, the state police. They have all kinds of sidewalks and crosswalks and all this stuff. And they were right by the donut shop. So the kids had $7 and they wanted to go to the donut shop. It's the Rivers family. And so they decided, the kids who are 9 and 7 years old, they're old enough, they can walk a couple of blocks to the Dunkin' Donuts by themselves and get a donut. And they said that, you know, we didn't think anything of it. You know, their kids are, you know, old enough. They know how to, you know, traverse a sidewalk in a small town. And, you know, and they said we felt that what we did was safe. So the kids got $7 and they went off on their walk. Well, the Rivers said that a few minutes later, the police knocked on their door. They said the first cop who showed up, and this is via Reason, said he did not think it was safe for the kids to walk by themselves. And we told him that while we did feel it was safe, we agreed to not allow them to walk around town unsupervised. The mom said that she thought that would be the end of it, and then 3 more officers showed up. The first cop sent the dad to go get the kids. They only were 2 blocks away. Then mom and dad and the kids faced a ton of questions from the police. They told us it wasn't safe for the kids to walk down their street. There were registered sex offenders everywhere that could kidnap them. Drug dealers are going to give them drugs, all this stuff. And when she was trying to counter what she was being told, one of the officers had said, well, do you watch the news? There was a police report filed against them. And they were pressing the family to search the sex offender registry to see if their neighbors were on it. The officers claimed that they had received a dozen 911 calls about the kids walking the 2 blocks during the short period of time they were gone. Rivers thought it was unlikely because they only walked past 4 other houses. But they charged the husband, the dad, with risk of injury to a minor. They charged the mom with the same thing, and then they arrested the husband and took him away. They arrested the dad because the kids walked 2 blocks to Dunkin' Donuts in their tiny little town in Connecticut. Wow. And so they had to get a lawyer. A sergeant 2 days later visited the house to let them know they were dropping the charges. He admitted the law concerning negligence was open to interpretation. And the families told the lawyer that the services maybe wouldn't be necessary. But that wasn't the case because the charges went away. But the Department of Children and Families, they got involved. They have such great track records. So the DCF caseworker, Reason notes, visited the family twice, interviewed everyone about their total history, and was trying to find some problems. And the family was trying to tell the caseworker, look, the police even admitted that they had overreacted. But the caseworker said, no, you jeopardized your kid's safety. And when the caseworker found out that she had baby blues at some point, because it's common, they weaponized that against her. They ordered her back into therapy. And they thought, I mean, it took for forever. They said it had a negative impact. The kids were not allowed to walk outside unsupervised, all kinds of stuff. This is insane. Who was the first off? I want to know. I'm very curious as to who even alerted the police in the first place, because this isn't the first time something like this has happened. There was another story that was in the Northeast Coast where 2 kids literally walked down the road. They could see the playground from their front porch. There are photos online. And they walked down the road to go play on the playground. And they were older. I think the youngest one in this case was like 9 and the oldest was 12. and they walked down the road to go and play on the playground, and some ninny nanny, some, you know, busybody, you know, bee from across the street decided to call the police because they said that it was unsafe and the kids were, that is absolutely asinine. So the police showed up, DCF showed up. It was like a whole thing. Now, what gets me is that they immediately, like, no one goes and talks to the parents. If you have an issue, you immediately have to call the police. What a horrible society we live in. You know, this is probably one of the reasons why kids are so screwed up, because you have parents who are out there. When I was younger, I had a miniature three-wheeler. I took that three-wheeler and I would drive, like, I would take off down, you know, in southern Missouri, down in the Ozarks. I'd take, you know, I'd probably go probably a mile or 2 miles, and I'd go to the river and play by myself and catch tadpoles and all kinds of stuff. And this was like in the 80s. This was like in the mid to late 80s when I was doing this.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.